It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
103.7 The Game's 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20 by 20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
Welcome, everyone, to the 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast, where we give you all the greatest pro wrestling information. You may be wondering why we're playing this song. We're also talking in such hushed tones. Well, we don't want to wake up Abby the Witch. We don't want to disturb her inside the Firefly Funhouse. That's why we're doing this in such low tones. And with me, as always, it's Cody Schutz. We do this every single week. Talk about everything going on in the world of pro wrestling. But you know, today, we're taking things a little bit easier today.
Well, hello there, pal. How are you doing,
Clint? I'm doing fantastic. You know, we had a lot of great things happen this week. Obviously, we had the Daniel Bryan. He's cleared to wrestle, but hopefully he'll be back in the next couple weeks after the Kofi Kingston Kevin Owens storyline reached its conclusion.
You know what? Yeah, hey, fuck this.
No, you're going to wake up Abby the Witch.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. That's better. Now we're starting. Bring on Abby the Witch. It doesn't matter.
All you got to do.
Shout out to the late Alan Michael. He would love this.
Mudvayne.
Yes. Yes, Mudvayne. Great. It's been a long time since I've been able to click the Mudvayne button, so I'm happy.
There's a button that just says Mudvayne.
There is. I do have it. This is all it does. It just plays dig. Yeah. And that's okay. Shout out to 811 as well if you live in Louisiana.
Can you dig it?
Sucker.
Yeah. The Fave Five.
Shucky Ducky.
But yeah, man, you know, there was so much awesome stuff that happened this week in the world of pro
wrestling.
You don't
stop messing with that mic?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not used to being in this spot.
Okay? I know.
This is what happens when we do the show after Five Guys.
We make adjustments here and things go crazy. Should I hit the Mudvayne button again?
Yeah, do it while I...
You look like he's moved. Oh, he's going to move. We're going to hit the Mudvayne button again, okay? I told you, this is all it does. I have no preview for what may come on the 20 by 25.
All right, there we go.
But I can guarantee you it will be rocking. The Mudvayne button has been pushed twice already today.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, like I said, a lot of great things happened this week. Obviously, Kevin Owens continuing that storyline. We're getting closer to Money in the Bank. All the participants have been announced. And I was definitely surprised to see what's going on with the Money in the Bank, seeing who's participating in this. Of course, you have Alexa Bliss making her return for the umpteenth time.
Oh, but she's great. I'm not complaining about that. Maybe you aren't either, but she's making her return. I'm happy with that, though.
It's like, oh, hey, I'm just going to show up for these multi-women matches so I don't get another concussion and have to retire, even though I think a lot of marks would probably say Alexa Bliss needs to go. She's taking away from everybody. And then, of course, Dana Brooke is probably the oddball in this group. But, you know, whenever you've got a women's tag titles, makes things hard.
Well, since you went there, I'll start there. Go ahead and run through the rest of the entrance in the women's there, because I do have a question for you. But go ahead and let us know.
Friends of the program.
Friends of the program.
Natalya and Carmella are in there.
Yes, sir.
Dana Brooke, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Mandy Rose, and Ember Moon.
Okay. That to me, I'm all right with that. Yeah. If I were to ask you, what name stands out to you, just for any particular reason, what name is not like the others?
Dana Brooke.
Correct. Fantasy booking time, Clint, because we love to do that. Does Dana Brooke make it to Money in the Bank? Or is this part of the story?
I think this is part of the story. because she's
not actually in the match.
No,
right?
No, I think she's in the match.
So she makes it to Money in the Bank. She's not going to be jumped backstage and replaced by someone or something like that. She's an actual participant in the match.
I don't see it being boss time.
Well, I'm not saying Sasha Banks. I'm just saying it could be anybody. I mean,
Paige.
I'm not saying Paige. I'm just wondering, do you really think when the bell rings at Money in the Bank and the women's Money in the Bank ladder match begins, Dana Brooke will be one of the eight competitors and have a chance to win.
Yes, I believe
okay.
so.
Okay. I mean, that's, I don't know if I agree with that. I think that this is, they're putting Dana Brooke in there to then have maybe someone from NXT. Is this Shayna Baszler's time to come? Yeah. Now, we're fantasy booking here. Don't call me out. But it, who knows what could happen? Maybe you are correct and Dana Brooke does make it all the way to the pay-per-view. Yeah. She's in the match and then she does nothing. But I think this Dana Brooke is a placeholder for a deeper storyline. But maybe that's just me wanting more.
Yeah, well, like I said, I feel like Dana Brooke is going to be in there because, I mean, she's been part of women's title matches in the last, like, 6 months, so.
I mean, she went up against Ronda Rousey right before she left and stuff, and so, I mean, I get it. But, yeah,
her arm was broken.
Right. Did you hear, though?
Dana Brooke looks so much better right now, though.
Did you hear who is all hot and bothered, supposedly, on the social media about not being involved in this match, though, Clint?
Who's that?
Lana. Is apparently very upset.
She hasn't wrestled in like months.
That's why I'm pretty sure, you know, she's just working the fans, you know, trying to get taking a page out of old Handsome Rusev's book and just getting the fans all up in a twist. But you know, Lana's supposedly complaining that she's not in the match. But Lana is not my prediction to be the one to replace Dana Brooke.
Lana is all elite.
Lana, she wishes she was all elite. Love yeah. Lana, though. Do love Lana.
Yeah. But like I said, it makes sense, though, to not have Lana involved in this because I don't see her climbing the ladder and all
no.
that. Does she have, like, a bum ankle?
Who even knows? She did the last time we saw her, but it's so sporadic. I just think it's funny that she complained on Twitter, but I do also think that it's a work, so it's funny on two levels.
But, yeah, like I said, and then, of course, the men's side, I think that one's going to be fun because you got a lot of great, like,
it's a lot of beef. Call it what it is, cunt.
No, not
there's as much, beef everywhere.
I mean, the only beef you really have is Braun, Drew, and Baron. Everybody else is Ricochet, Ali, Finn Balor, Andrade, and Orton, who's not necessarily like beef.
Andrade and Orton are like your hybrids, we'll call them. They exist in that middle.
They're your hybrid weights.
Then you have your cruiserweights, and then you got your beef.
Like I said, you've got small.
And you know one of the beef is winning this. Who knows for sure, but
nah,
I think it's one of the beef.
I don't think so. We'll get our predictions, like, probably, because what is it, like, 2 weeks away now?
Who do you
May 19th?
May 19th.
Yes.
Who do you want to win, though, Clint? Not who you think's going to win. Who do you want to win?
I want Finn to win. And you know,
kind of a champ, sort of.
Well, I mean.
Not really, but.
Well, no, you could have it be a lot like when RVD won the Money in the Bank, whenever he was the second ever Money in the Bank winner, where he's a champion but also holds Money in the Bank and then winds up losing the title down the line. And then, like,
he's still Mr. Money in the Bank, right?
Correct. Yeah. Well, I'm saying you have him have that title, and then probably a couple weeks later, you have him announce his intentions to cash in Money in the Bank at, you know, Stomping Grounds or whatever pay per view is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you build that up for a WWE title match between Finn Balor, Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston, Kevin Owens, whoever the hell it is, in the next few months. That way, a babyface cashing in on somebody, it's not necessarily like who's vulnerable. It doesn't work right. I think this would be the best case scenario is to have Finn Balor like cash in Money in the Bank, but do it on his own terms to be able to put himself in a main event match at a pay-per-view.
And this is all what you want to have. That's a lot. That was a deep answer.
Yeah, no, I guess
fair enough.
Like I said, because it's always, you want to, if you're going to have a babyface win, you can't have them cash in at the most like inopportune time for the champion, especially if it's still Kofi Kingston. Hypothetically,
that's your problem. You have two babyface champs right now. No matter where you go,
yeah.
Seth Rollins or Kofi Kingston. So the good guy, but by come May 19th, I don't know if that bodes too well for the good guys in this match. But who knows? I would like to see Drew McIntyre win, just because I think he would. He would just, he would be the greatest.
Drew McIntyre deserves it.
He would get like X-Pac levels of heat
if he had the briefcase too.
I think people would, but it would be the right kind of heat. It would be that kind of level, but the right kind of heat because people would all
No, you're using the X-Pac heat the wrong way because X-Pac heat was just go the hell away type of heat. Like the heat that would be on Drew is like just.
Like Jason Jordan heat.
No. That's X-Pac heat. I'm saying people would just be booing him because of the fact that he wound up demolishing everybody and he wasn't the guy everybody wanted. I'm talking about guys like Finn Balor, Ali, Ricochet even. Ricochet's definitely building up a lot of momentum, but I can't see him winning Money in the Bank this early on. in his career.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how this builds.
Like, I just want to see the flippy shit that Ali and Ricochet do. Like, that's all I care about.
Do you have any thoughts on the steel cage match that we have had announced between
The Miz versus Shane McMahon?
The Miz versus the best in the world. And imagine it goes on for a long time.
Yeah. You know, that's going to be fun. I'm not going to lie. It makes sure, like, you can have this be a really fun match. The one thing I didn't think about until I saw something online about it, Cody.
Uh-huh.
On Raw, you have The Miz feuding with Shane McMahon, and Shane's the heel in this, correct?
Right. Tag team, or not tag team, but partnered with the Raw feud, he's partnered with, Lashley. Sort of.
Lashley. But anyways, no, like, the whole thing is with that, I'm saying he's the heel in that feud, correct?
Right.
And he's also feuding with Roman Reigns.
Right.
Who punched Vince McMahon in the face.
Right.
Which, hypothetically, in the feud between him and Roman, would make Roman the heel.
Not if you're punching the most heel. Punching the most heel character in the history of wrestling in the face does not turn one heel.
But Shane's defending his father's honor.
But when your father is the most heel character in the history of wrestling, that does not make you a face.
Okay. I can get behind that.
I understand what you're trying to get at, though. I think your point is that Shane McMahon is pulling double duty right now, and I don't know if we need Shane McMahon on both shows.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're going to wind
up
doing.
No, that's absolutely what we're getting. You're 100% correct. That's what we're getting, but I just don't know if that's what we need.
Now, does Miz do another high spot again?
Well, that's my early thoughts on this. We'll see how the feud builds over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. But
my early thoughts on this is where Miz gets his win back, and it's on something. Maybe Shane does something dumb. Remember how Jeff Hardy got back in the cage? I'm not going to say Shane does that because he wouldn't have that chance. But, you know, maybe Shane
gets... No, you probably would. I mean...
Maybe Shane gets to the top of the cage and instead of leaving decides, oh, I'm the best in the world. I'm going to drop an elbow on the Miz. And then instead of leaving, jumps back in to hit, and then Miz gets out of the way and escapes and wins. And then Shane can be called dumb and he, you know, maybe goes away for a little... I don't know. Who knows? That's my initial thoughts on it. My biggest worry, though, is that Shane McMahon, because his last name is McMahon, is going to go over.
Nah, I don't think he
wants. I hope not.
I think you have Miz get the win back if you want to end this feud and move on as quickly as you can.
The Miz is doing great babyface work.
Oh, no, he's doing it. He's well, I mean, how can he be a heel? He's got two kids now.
Dad of the century.
Yeah. Mind you, I mean, he'll if he's not focusing on fantasy drafts, I think he's good.
Again, I just love how the promos, commercials for Miz and Mrs. end with Miz going, oh, we're going over. But it's as if he's falling over, but you know what he means.
Yeah, it's very funny, like, Mark type stuff.
Oh, it's a meta joke for all the Marks.
And
I love it.
especially the five people who watch Miz and Mrs.
Oh, I thought a lot of people watched that.
I don't know. Right. Like I said, I just feel like I'm not a big fan of, like, the reality TV that
those
USA does, like Chrisley Knows Best and all that.
That show seems weird.
Trust me, it is extremely weird.
It just seems weird. His daughter's hot, but the show seems weird.
His daughter's hot. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it just I can't get into it.
No, I'm not about that life there, Clint.
No.
Let's continue to talk about other things that happened on Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
I'm going to attempt not to forget some of the high points. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way now. We'll put it right in the middle.
Hold on. Is AJ a heel now? That's something we can talk about.
In the context of this particular match, yes.
Because he's looking like a cocky motherfucker right now.
But Seth is also doing a very good job at being arrogant or confident enough to the point where when AJ does step back up to him with his heelish kind of ways, it doesn't make either one of them look that bad because Seth is stepping up so hard in a way that we can cheer that we would boo AJ if AJ didn't step back up. So AJ can act a little more heelish and step back up, but we can still like both. It's so far, it's two of the best wrestlers in the world doing some of the best wrestling in the world.
So basically, one of them is getting kicked in the ding-ding again.
I mean, if they just do AJ Shinsuke all over again, the backlash, pun intended, will be immense.
Yeah.
Backlash is dead, by the way.
Yeah, also.
That's part of the news segment for this podcast.
Yeah, also, you know what it's called, right? It's Stomping Grounds.
Yeah, Stomping Grounds is is all right. I don't. It's better than Great Balls of Fire.
No, Great Balls of Fire was the best because of the fact that you had like random cuts where like you had a cutaway where like Sasha Banks's head was covering up the beginning of it, and it just said "Eat balls."
It's even better than Big Ass.
No, that happened the same night. That was probably, like two of the greatest moments in wrestling history.
So that's my thoughts on it. I don't think AJ is a full heel by any means, but in this feud up until Money in the Bank, I think we're supposed to treat him as the heel in the feud. That's my thought.
That's cool. I'm just wondering.
That's a good one. Let's put this here, I think, is a good spot for it. This is what the people want to talk about, Clint, and it's the Firefly Funhouse.
Yes. You have a great theory about that, so I'm going to go ahead and let you unpack it.
We obviously, we're all, if you're sitting here listening to the 20 by 20 podcast, you don't need me to explain to you that when Bray Wyatt shows you the painting
I
that he
like
was...
I feel a real chill in the back.
But I don't need to explain to you when Bray Wyatt shows the painting that it is absolutely a callback to when Orton burned down the Wyatt compound was 2016, I believe it was.
No, 2017.
2017, there you go. And then in the painting, if you look at it, and it's...
2016 was 32 when a Roman beat Triple H.
Right. But if you go and watch the segment on YouTube and you blow it up to full screen, it's much easier to see when you see the painting that Sister Abigail is in the window. You can see her face and she maybe looks like she's screaming or whatever have you. You know, it's all there. I don't need to explain what's going on. My thoughts. When Bray Wyatt brings up what he did in the past.
Yeah.
That's when Sister Abigail starts to fuss at him. No, don't talk about that. You can't. That's bad. We all saw the segment.
Yeah.
Sister Abigail told Bray, you didn't learn from what happened last time, did you? And then he goes on to deny it. Think about this, Clint. What is Sister Abigail in the Firefly Funhouse?
In a window.
What do we see Sister Abigail in the painting? She's in the window.
Oh, okay.
What is the window of in the painting? It's on the old Wyatt compound.
Okay.
The Firefly Funhouse is the rebuilt Wyatt compound that Bray Wyatt is now living in, and we just don't know it yet. All of this is happening inside the Wyatt compound, which Bray Wyatt has rebuilt since being off of TV. We don't know where he went. We don't know why he's going kayfabe reasons. So he has been rebuilding the Wyatt compound. It is now the Firefly Funhouse as we see it. And it will be revealed eventually, and we will get the Firefly Funhouse match. It will happen. I think that is exactly where we're headed. We're inside the Wyatt compound every time we watch the Firefly Funhouse.
So where's the room with all the babies just hanging on?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That all got burned down. So it's been rebuilt, but because it's been rebuilt in the same place, Sister Abigail's soul has returned. And that's why Sister Abigail is in the doll.
No, didn't that match happen before Orton burned the house down? No, that match was after.
Oh, the House of Horrors match was after he burned it? Well, then, this is not the House of Horrors. This is the Wyatt compound. This is that place. The building that Randy Orton burned down is the Firefly Funhouse.
Okay. I'm trying to understand all this. There's a lot of ins and outs here.
There's a lot of ins and outs.
A lot of what have yous.
As the dude would say.
Yeah. I guess there's a lot of stuff to kind of unpack here with this. I like the theory, but man, I
don't know where the problem with
I
the theory
Bray
is.
I think Bray
Wyatt's
just saying, hey, like I'm Mr. Rogers now.
The problem with my theory on that is I don't know. It just kind of ends. I don't know where it goes. Like, I love the idea.
I don't even think Vince knows where it's going.
Right.
Let's be honest.
I love the idea that this could come back around and bring in the old Wyatt compound and that now where Sister Abigail was and that getting burned out and that coming back. I love that idea. I just, once you reveal that idea, I don't know where you go from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my problem. Now, WWE, maybe they turn it to gold. Maybe they turn it into crap. Or maybe I'm so far off base that I'm going to sound stupid in a few weeks.
Maybe they just cut it off altogether because apparently that was the rumor that a lot of the stockholders aren't a big fan of the angle.
Right. And again, we said last week, I think Bray tweeted about that. And then Bray has been tweeting again more and more about stuff. His Twitter account's kind of fun if you check that out. Yeah. Oh, he's absolutely. I'm just very interested. So far, 2 weeks into the Firefly Funhouse, I'm all about it. I have no regrets about it for WWE. So hopefully they keep rolling with it. It'll be interesting to me, though, to see how they translate this character into the ring.
Yeah.
Is he going to bring any of those certain mannerisms, or is he going to be just Bray Wyatt again once he gets in the ring, which I guess is fine, but I'm just curious.
Or is he going to bring, like, Ramblin' Rabbit around?
Well, Ramblin' Rabbit was a good addition to Episode 2 of the Firefly Funhouse. I will say that I enjoyed it because Bray had become a bit of a Ramblin' Rabbit, if you will,
also
up until his time off.
Also, the how he called Randy Bobanders.
Randy Bobanders, yeah.
Randy Bobandy.
I forgive you, Randy Bobanders.
Have you seen Randy's response to it?
Did he try to shake Bray Wyatt's hand?
No. Randy Orton said, "You had WWE spent $2 million on photo projected bugs. What do you expect me to do? Trailer Park Boys, Bo F and Bandy over here, and out over and out. Hashtag House of Horrors."
God. So Randy Orton
is even having fun with us.
Hated that match as well.
I mean, who didn't hate that?
Oh, I thought it was fun for what it was.
It was a horrible thing.
It was fun for what it was. And then Bray Wyatt won, and he rode off in a cab or an Uber.
And it was a non-title match. What the fuck are you doing? Like, how can you not, like, make it a rematch? Because Bray Wyatt lost the title of Mania. What the hell?
Bray Wyatt doesn't care about the belt there, Clint. He just wants to pin Randy Orton.
My God, it's so dumb. My God. Because him winning the WWE title was pointless.
So far, though, for me, 5 stars to the Firefly Funhouse.
Oh, no.
Both 2 episodes.
It's amazing. I'm not going to lie. But I want to see more characters now. We got Ramblin' Rabbit. We've got Abby the Witch. We got Mercy the Buzzard. Now all we need is Jombie. All we need is Jombie, Cody.
I don't know what that means.
Pee-wee's Playhouse?
I mean, I guess. Is that the Wagga Wagga guy?
No. Mecca Lekka High. Mecca High.
Oh, and who's the one that does ping pong balls?
Oh, I don't know.
And all the stuff falls. You open up the box, yeah.
I don't know.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah. Stop by, yeah. Crazy. Nick. No, I was talking about Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Is that from Family Guy?
Yeah, from Family Guy. Whatever he's like, there's a chair that freaking talks. Look at that. There's a fish that give advice. Holy crap.
I have seen.
It's screwing. It's Pee-wee's Playhouse.
All right, Clint, I have one more.
It's ridiculous. You said the single word.
I have one more WWE-related sort of topic that I want to throw your way.
Go ahead.
That is then also related to AEW and possibly other.
The thing that's supposed to debut this month.
Right, and possibly other independent, and AEW's not really independent, but you know what I mean, other wrestling
promotions.
So this should transition greatly from WWE talk to your little indie segment that you like to do. So, should I call him Dean Ambrose or John Moxley?
John Moxley.
Tell me about
John
Moxley.
Is this what he's called right now? So John Moxley put out a really cool debut video package.
Prison Break style.
Prison Break, Shawshank Redemption. I'm getting out of the loony bin.
Law-abiding citizen.
I haven't seen that movie.
Great movie.
I'm always going to go Shawshank because it's the masterpiece.
Oh, it's Shawshank's better, but Law-abiding citizen is still good.
Was it based off a book?
I probably, who knows? There's no original ideas anymore.
I doubt it. But anyway, so like I said, you had him escape from the prison, and then he's kind of training, getting himself back to normal. And everybody's immediately jumping towards the dice, being 2-5, which 5:45 is the official start of the AEW's era with Double or Nothing on May 25th.
And then he also had like 25 tally marks on the
wall. No, that was 35. That was 30. I counted it.
Okay.
It was 6 tally marks. I counted it was 30, which could mean 30 days. I guess I don't know how exactly it works, but I have my own theory about it. But they're talking about everybody's talking about the dice being a 2 and a 5. Not realizing that logo is for the Viper Room. The Viper Room is a place out in Los Angeles where I think everybody knows, notably, River Phoenix passed away due to a drug overdose. Everybody knows about that story. So you have that. It was also a big place on the Sunset Strip. 25 minutes away is the Globe Theater out in Los Angeles, California. Out in SoCal, which isn't far from Las Vegas where AEW is. So he could be AEW bound, but if that could happen a little bit further down the line, I think that John Moxley makes his much-anticipated return to the Indies at PWG Mystery Vortex, which is taking place at the Globe Theater. It's about a 25-minute drive from the Viper Room. And then you have him be at a big match at that show. Because Mystery Vortex, for those who don't know, It's a yearly event PWG puts together, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, where a lot of the Young Bucks, Joey Ryan, all the guys that are part of AEW now kind of were a part of during its heyday. Even Kevin Owens was part of that for a while, teaming up with the Young Bucks. I think that you wind up seeing this be a match because they already have scheduled a Guerrilla Warfare match. Outside of that, nothing else has been announced. Even the opponents for that match haven't been announced yet. So, hypothetically, Jon Moxley makes his debut, or return to the indies, if you will, as Jon Moxley versus somebody at PWG's Mystery Vortex 6, and then it winds up being a Guerrilla Warfare match, and everybody kind of loses their minds because anything could happen at these shows. Anything.
I'm about it. I'm about seeing that. You made me think of another indie guy. You mentioned Joey Ryan in there as well. Stories out. He's obviously got his link to AEW for numerous reasons. But he is also, it's confirmed, he has been offered a contract. Not sure the size of it, but been offered a contract by WWE as well. Joey Ryan puts out a tweet saying something along the lines of, "Hey, I'm sure you've all heard by now that I'm leaving the indies and signing with a bigger promotion. Make sure you grab my farewell indies tour t-shirt before it's too late," this and that. And then he puts hashtag Raw at the end of his tweet.
Yeah.
Pretty much confirming that Joey Ryan is all elite.
And I think that's definitely going to be where it happens.
Like hashtag Raw, Joey Ryan is all elite.
Exactly. No, but I think you wind up seeing it like be announced closer to the date of him announcing, because I think it's going to be after Double or Nothing.
Right, but if we were speculating, which we are,
yeah,
Joey Ryan's certainly AEW bound, not WWE, right?
Oh, of course. I think that's the way they're going to wind up going, because I feel like
could you
Joey
see
Ryan
WWE changing his gimmick to like elbow party?
No,
does an elbow from the top rope.
No, not even that. I think it's going to be with Joey Ryan. I think he would be more of a trainer. I think they would wind up using like Adam Pearce, as opposed to Joey Ryan being Joey Ryan.
See, you're thinking too far in advance, because he would wrestle for the company. Because I saw the same thing you were reading, and they said it was a 5-year deal, but the first 2 years was on camera, and then the final three were behind the scenes. So he was going to wrestle for a couple of years if he had accepted that deal. They weren't just going to put him behind the cameras already. He's still a young man, so to speak.
Yeah. But like I said, I feel like he's one of those guys that they really couldn't do what they want to do with him. I think it would work best to have him be used as a behind-the-scenes guy, a lot like what they're doing with Steve Corino and Adam Pearce and a lot of other guys who are in the Performance Center, even Matt Bloom, formerly known as Albert Tensai A-Train, whatever the hell else he was called.
Albert was eaten by Tensai. You know that.
No, he wasn't eaten by Tensai. Albert was – he didn't even gain that much weight compared to him. Anyways, like I said, we've been running a little long here.
Oh, and shout-out to – he was on TV at the 2 weeks ago, friend of the 20x20 podcast, Sanjay Dutt. Was on, I believe it was SmackDown, maybe, or was it Raw the other day? He got a little TV time.
He deserves better.
Shout out to Sanjay Dutt now.
Yeah, he's a producer now.
Working for WWE, friend of the program.
Friend of the program. We had him on last year around WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. And before we get out of here, I want to hurry up and get to some news and notes, especially about the National Wrestling Alliance, because over the weekend they had their Crockett Cup, and my goodness, that was amazing. You wound up having new tag team champions be crowned, NWA Tag Champs, PCO, and Brody King, your winners of the Crockett Cup Tournament. Also, Colt Cabana, boom, boom, Colt Cabana, your new NWA National Champion. And Nick Aldis winds up retaining. And also, Sienna of TNA fame, she is your new NWA Women's Champion. We're supposed to find out pretty soon who her opponent's going to be.
Poor Jazz.
And then also Colt Cabana found out his first opponent is via Global Wars May the 12th. That's next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but the following. On Mother's Day. Colt Cabana is going to be taking on Cowboy James Storm in Chicago, Illinois. Definitely going to be a fun show to keep an eye on if you're a big fan of the 10 pounds of gold. Outside that, relatively mundane week. I think everybody's kind of starting to center in and corner in on what's going to happen around the weekend of May 25th. With StarCast 2 going on, you've got All Elite Wrestling, Double or Nothing. You've got a lot of great things going on involving the world of independent wrestling, or stuff that's not WWE, which is kind of what this segment's all about. Oh, also, new, I completely forgot about this because I don't consider it indie, but I think it fits in this. Impact Wrestling has a new world champion, friend of a friend of the program, is our guy, Brian Cage, Swolverine, your new Impact.
Is he a friend of Moose?
No. No,
well, I know Moose.
Well, no, well, a friend of a friend of the program, a guy who we've had on the station in the past that, you know, does stuff on the independent scene locally. He's a friend of a friend. Let's go with that.
A friend of a friend. Yeah. All right.
Friend of a friend of the program. So, yeah, we got that going on for us, which is pretty nice. And the 20 by 20 Progress podcast, it is wrapped up. I told you play Big Boss Man, not Mudvayne again.
We're playing Mudvayne. I forgot about Big Boss Man.
Okay. Whatever. Just leave a 5-star review if you love the podcast. 6 stars, of course, if you're inside the Tokyo Dome. 7 stars.
Oh, happy birthday you're inside to Budokan. Big Boss Man. R.I.P.
Happy birthday to Big Boss Man. He would have been like 60, I think.
To The Rock.
The
as
Rock's
well.
Birthday. If you smell.
He's 46, I think I saw he turned or something
like that. He's jacked as fuck now.
Biggest star in Hollywood.
Yeah.
How many stars do you want him to leave, Clint?
What?
How many stars should they leave, Clint, if they're listening?
5.
5 of them?
6 if you're in the Tokyo Dome. I was just saying that. Come on, Cody.
How many stars should they leave, Clint?
5.
If you're listening, what about in the Tokyo Dome?
6.
What about in the Cajun Dome?
3.75.
And what about 6 years from now in the newly renovated Superdome?
Well, hopefully we're still alive by then, Cody.
10 stars, Clint. 10 stars.
20. For 20 by 20. And for those who speak a different language, the 20 a 20 podcasto. We're out of here, guys. This show's so over, dog.